And that was The Beatles and Help, finishing off Dutch Discs this week. My goodness, we're in need of some help, are we not? We've got Mark Green in the studio this evening. Angie's off to try and find a defender with some back. But anyway, we're going to play the credits now, and we're into the Sunday Sports Show.
Goal that took Stoke City back to Wembley for the first time in 20 years. Young Paul Ware crashing at home from a free kick.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Not FM Sunday Sports Show. Mark Green's with me this evening. I'm not sure we know where to go from here, myself and Mark. It's been a disastrous start to the season. There's no way of saying anything else, really. I think we're all looking for answers, but I don't think we even know the questions, to be honest, before we can find the answers. But there's something desperately wrong at Stoke City Football Club. Tonight, for 2 hours, we're going to try and not shout Jones out all the time, I hope, but just try and be constructive about where we go from here, because this just simply isn't good enough. I'm not so sure the problems will be solved simply by sacking a manager. This has been going on too long now, and we've had too many managers through the door. But I have to accept that he isn't helping himself either, with a number of supporters. Well, all of us can criticise things that he is doing at the moment, but is sacking another manager the answer? It's certainly not good enough. Mark's in the studio. Mark, I mean, we've had two games this week, one positive result, away at Leeds that we nearly chucked away when we were coasting the game, and then another desperately disappointing league result. I obviously haven't been in so far this season. What are your thoughts on the season as a whole so far, and yes, this week's results?
Well, I mean, for me, we've got to be looking at the league. I mean, that game against Leeds in the week is incidental. You know, one thing that he did do was show that he can pick a team that was capable of playing against and holding their own against a club top of the league. But the biggest thing with the guy all through the season so far is he's tinkering. You know, he keeps on changing the personnel in the team. We've got guys coming in who have a good game and then the next game they're dropped. nobody can pick a team that he's going to pick for the next game, and surely that can't be right. His record precedes him, Russ. And as you said, we don't want to become a Jones out. There's a lot of people out there that would have him gone now, for their own reasons. And there are some who want to still back him. For how long, I don't really know. But to me, I mean, yesterday, I went the Charlton away game. And we dominated that game, Russ, and we lost 3-1. You know, and that game yesterday really did remind me of Charlton, where we dominated. I think half time, we came off that pitch with 67% possession, but created absolutely nothing with it. You know, and that's the true facts.
Well, I've spoken to someone this afternoon who went to the game yesterday, and then you can carry on, just to put a bit of perspective on this. Everybody, well, he certainly thought that it had the classic look of one goal's going to win this game. And when we got it, they thought, oh, it's a classic away performance, 0-1, the home team not doing anything. But we just can't rely on Stoke to hold a lead, can you?
No. I mean, the thing is, there's a lot of, it's genuine hate out there for people like Joe Allen.
Yeah.
And there has been for a long time, you know, not just this season, but the season before that. you know, everybody's saying that he is a big contributor since he's been here, and why our performances have dwindled. But, you know, he dropped him. We put half decent performance in, but you know very well he's going to go back to his fun boy three, I'm going to call him, with Alan, McLean and Klukas. They're nailed on to start, no matter how
bad. He likes Klukas, too.
Certainly does, mate. And out of the three, Klukas isn't the one to miss out, is he? Yeah. But we want some consistency. That's all we ask for. And
we're very consistent. Absolutely. We're losing.
But the thing is, Russ, what this guy's got to do, if he's got a system which is a diamond or whatever else, whatever formation it is that he's got in his head, he's got to play it. He's got to play that system, and he's got to live and die by it.
Yeah.
He can't keep changing it because, you know, Stoke fans moan at the club, they moan at everything. The next game, we're guessing the formation. We don't know where players are playing. But the guy's got to stick to his principles, and he's got to live and die by him, as I've just said. And at the minute, it looks very much like it's the secondary. You know, we've got all this stuff going on at the club. We've got a CEO has decided to go on holiday whilst transfer window in Europe is still open. So, you know, we can't just say it's Jones and Joe Allen and where else. It's the club from top to bottom that's wrong, Russ, and has been for a long time. It's just that Jones is the latest guy there to take all this flack.
Well, let's just catch up with Facebook, because you had so many comments. I don't want to try and read them out as quickly as they come in, because we have so many and we get behind then. Mark, I know, has got so many comments on the oatcake already, so Mark's going to get on that with that at the moment. There's thousands of you tuning in tonight, and I'm just so grateful to you for doing so. Record numbers again. It just shows you how much passion there is for the football club, Mark. We're in desperate state, and you know, it just staggers me how much of the support they're retaining and the interest in the club that they're retaining. Mm-hmm. After about, it just shows you how brilliant Stoke fans are. It just does my head in when people say people have been criticising the fans lately. I mean, good God, we should all be on citalopram, I think, for what we've watched over the last 3 years.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. I mean, the fans are turning out there time and time again, especially the people who go away from home and just getting disappointment over and over again. And their own form has been utterly woeful for months and months and months now. Yeah. And then they wonder why people are actually fed up before they even sit down.
They are. I mean, let's face it, last week, mate, against Leeds, 65th minute when they scored their second.
Tempted.
You know, a lot of people went. Yeah, yeah. It really did. Yeah. A lot of people went. Yeah. But you know,
like I said to Angelo last week, that's because the supporters have got zero belief now in this team coming back from any sort of deficit.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time we did it? I mean, we played, I think the last, we talked about it, Blackburn, when we were awful for about 81 minutes of that game, and it was a shameful performance. And then we got them two goals within a couple of minutes, didn't we? And then missed the penalty in the injury time, Barry, you know.
Ah, but we can score him now. Five on the trot.
Well, that's it. But I just don't know what the situation is with people who criticise the fans, because the fans have been there and there, and they keep their 26,000 or something like that last week. Mm. They're keeping going.
You know, for me, Russ, I mean, we don't know how many season tickets we sold this season.
Yeah.
But, you know, the crowds are upwards of 24,000, you know, plus with the away support, obviously. But you're dead right. I mean, away followings went to Charlton, nearly, you know, practically a sellout. 700, 800 people went to Leeds.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, for the cup game.
Over
brilliant,
2,000 went to Birmingham yesterday.
Brilliant.
And you know, you see all the criticism, and you know, a lot of it's justified. But you see loads of Stoke fans still tweeting the ticket office. When are the Brentford tickets going on sale? When are Swansea tickets going on sale? So they're there. They want to go watch this game. They want to go watch Stoke. But we're not serving anything up for them to go. But they're still going.
Yeah.
You know, all credit to them to do it.
I don't know. Like I say, I've given up thinking what even the questions are at the moment, let alone the answers. We've got rid of Mark Cartwright. We've done changes behind the scenes. nothing seems to work at the moment. And like I say, one of the big problems at the football club at the moment is we haven't got a clue who's responsible for what.
If we take,
this is one of the big problems I've got. The football club need to come out and give us a structure. Who is responsible? I mean, we don't even know. I don't think who's making any football decisions or any decisions at all. Mm-hmm. I'm starting a campaign for a proper director of football at Stoke because I think it's best that Tony Scholes is removed from any football decision whatsoever and just concentrates on the finances, and we bring somebody in who's solely responsible for liaising with the manager about talent and, you know, purchases, and just let him finance it, i.e., you know, deal with the financial side of the deal. Nothing to do with selecting players, nothing to do with having any involvement in any of that. Let's have a director of football like a lot of other clubs have got. And then we know what the chain of command is. A lot of people are suspicious about who's responsible for what, who's making signings, who's doing this, that and the other. And what people can't understand more than anything, Mark, is why we're playing so badly with the squad of players that we've got. Yes, we made a lot of free transfer signings, but they weren't free transfers in respect to the fact that nobody wanted them. They were decent Bosman players, all of which had a good reputation at the clubs where they'd been. The fans loved them at the clubs where they'd been. Smith, Gregory, Powell. You know, they were really, really disappointed, the fans were, that these players. Duffy's another one from Sheffield United, raving about him on the Sheffield United website. Yet as soon as they turn up at Stoke, what happens?
Yeah, but the thing is, Russ, if you take Duffy, for example, he hasn't been given a chance.
Yeah.
You know, the guy, he came on at Charlton, he came on the other day, he played in the week at Leeds. He hasn't been given a chance because he'll go back to this tried three guys. And it isn't working, you're dead right, isn't working. Now, I mean, when I was on a holiday over in Turkey, the lad I know is a Huddersfield fan. He was absolutely gutted when Tommy Smith left them. Gutted, because he was one of their main men. Mm. A guy I work with, where I am, he's a born and bred Luton fan, right? He lives up here now. He's saying that when he saw Lindsay and Davies playing for Barnsley, they were outstanding. Yeah. They were superb.
Yeah.
So, Davies can't even get in the team. And obviously, he was on the bench yesterday, which in itself is baffling.
Butland was injured.
Allegedly. I don't know. Was that taking a penalty?
Funnily enough, you've taken the words right out of my mouth, because that's what I said to one of the guys at the ladies' game this afternoon. Did he injure himself taking a penalty? Because he didn't look injured to me.
No, not at all.
I wonder if he's kicked the dog or something.
Exactly. So, you mentioned Duffy. And these guys have come in and with a brilliant reputation. The only guy I would say who didn't, and he's not impressed me one iota, is Cousins.
No, we've not been impressed with him.
Not at all. But the thing is, you know, get these lads on in the week. Why didn't we start with that team that he played in the week?
I don't know.
Neither do I. Stick with some consistently. You got a result. Lads are confident. And then you've got the likes of Woods and Edwards, who aren't even in the squad.
Okay, well, there's so much to talk about. I mean, I'd like your views, by the way, on last week, making an 18-year-old captain of that team, because we've gone from the sublime to the ridiculous there, haven't we? I mean, as Ange said, there is no question whatsoever Nathan Collins is going to be an outstanding footballer. Ange said that last week. I totally agree, and I'm sure you agree, Mark. But chucking the lad in as captain, an 18 years old in that situation against the top of the table side with Stoke bottom. What's that tell you about the rest of the players? Well, I'll leave you with that one. We'll talk about that one later. Jack Holmes says, I'll start. He has to go. So there you are. There's a lot of people saying hi. Stuart Nichols says hi to the Grim Reaper. You never lose that title, but I think
I will do when we start winning.
I think most of us are the Grim Reaper at the moment on everything that's going on. Stevie Breeze, the cheat from Stafford, you know, on Super 6, as Ange calls him, the cheat.
Right.
Stevie Breeze, the cheat, says, not sure we'll even get the top two now, he says. So, there you are, he's not impressed. Lee Stokey says, evening gents, game's up for me, I'm afraid. I want Nathan Jones to go and get someone else in. Main objective now is to avoid relegation. Baz Fox says, where do we go from here? That's the best question, but Who knows the answers? I'll let you all answer that one at home, because I really don't know. James Frankham says Jones out. Ant Lee says, evening lads, these are really dark times. As dark as we've seen them. No faith in Jones or this board. Shocking. And Pulis back, no chance. I'd say to you, Ant, if Jones goes, I would have thought that that's a highly possible thing to happen.
Don't say that, Ross. They'll all turn off.
No, well, I would be very surprised. Having said that, it might desire a change in the management at Stoke. And I mean management behind the scenes for him to come back, I have to say. Matthew Rowley says, the issue is down to the bad manager recruitment. Is it though, Matt? I mean, how many managers have we had since Mark Hughes? And if you had all the wins together, I'd like somebody to do that. If you had all the wins together between Lambert, Rowett and Jones, it won't be pretty, Mark.
No,
will it?
Not at all.
Dan Millwood says, results-wise, he's sent the club backwards with his own signings. Melanie Stanway says it's time for Coates to sell us. I've seen that on Twitter from other people today, actually.
Okay.
Lee Stokey says we will be relegated under Nathan Jones. Andy Furnio says there is obviously going to be said a million times tonight, but you cannot keep changing formation and lineups every game, which is what you said, Mark, and expect to get any sort of performances. I go home and away, and I refuse to spend any more money on this club until he's gone. Wow. Tom Lavin doesn't agree with Melanie about the coach he's selling the club, and neither does Matt Bolton. Dave Johnson says a consistent team would be good, which I think is another point you made. And again, same point you made from Steve Munn, says why didn't he start the Leeds game, the Leeds midweek winning team on Saturday? Martin Eagle says a full pre-season, his own recruitment, and six games in, he still doesn't know his best 11. I like Nathan Jones, and I really wanted his project to succeed, but he's out of his depth. Time to go. I'll tell you something else that's going on Marwick at the moment, the weird mentality. I'm fed up of hearing it, Mark.
Mentality.
He keeps... I mean, you're not just him. Manager after manager since Mark Hughes left have been talking about the mentality of the players. Well, get somebody in to change the mentality of these players.
Yeah.
Have we got a full-time sports psychologist? I don't know. Have we? We need one, I think. If the mentality is so much of a problem, then bring in sports psychologists, do something.
Mm-hmm. Elaine Drury.
Anybody.
Carry on.
Anybody. It's getting so desperate now, I've even been agreeing with Erin on Twitter about getting a gypsy in round the ground and doing all the how's your fathers around the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Martin Eagle says, stats are irrelevant when you sit bottom. I think that's in relation to possession and all this, that and the other.
Yep.
I mean, like I say, we sound like the West Brom fans now, don't we? Under Mowbray and people like that, when they're loads of possession, but they couldn't win a game of football. Andy Feeney says the best two players at Leeds were Bruno Martins, Indy at Campbell. Yet Barton, Smith and Ward keep their place. I mean, what is going on, says Andy. Neil Price, hi Neil, says we haven't had a settled team or system. We can't afford to be losing every week. We'll be playing catch-up and it will be too late. Sorry to say, but make the change over the international break. We're more than a win off safety already, which is very, very worrying. I can't believe I'm even saying it, to be honest. Gary Pardy says, I'm sorry to say, if he does not go, then we are down. Can someone answer me this? If a Afobe played for the first game for us and he's now playing for Bristol, surely that means he has no idea what his team is. So basically, he played up front for us in the first game and then let him go.
Mm-hmm.
But he had some treatment, didn't he, apparently, Mark? Well, I didn't see it, obviously, myself, because I was away. I'm on about Afobe. He had some treatment from the fans, didn't he, when he came off?
To be honest with you, Ross, I couldn't really work that out because, Afobe, he ran round a lot and he touched the ball, yeah?
Yeah.
It's the game where I didn't get in until.
Oh, yeah, were you?
One of the ones affected by the tickets. Cars. Yeah, absolutely. Now, in the time I was in the ground, I didn't see Sam Vokes touch the ball. Not once. So people said he must have touched it in the 9 minutes I missed. And yet, it was the booing of Vokes that got taken off, you know, instead of Afobe.
Hmm.
And I couldn't really work that one out, if I'm honest, but I must have missed something. in that first 9-10 minutes.
But I think Afobe, as he has been shown, has gone to Bristol City and he's doing well. I just don't think he's ever settled here, I just don't think the fans have ever taken to him for some reason. And
so why is he scoring at Bristol?
Well, this is the issue that I've got. Players, this is why we've got to accept folks, I think, at home. There's nothing to do with the managers anymore. I think we've had. I refuse to accept that Hughes, Lambert, Rowett and Jones are all appalling managers. I just refuse to accept that. In fact, apart from Lambert, which got universally criticised, he's also done well in previous appointments and previous jobs that he's had. Mm-hmm. So has Gary Rowett. So is Nathan Jones. I think we've just got to sit here and fundamentally accept that there is something wrong with our football club at the moment. We have no idea what it is, because if we did have an idea what it was, if it was something we could do something about, we'd have done it by now. It's got to be something within the structure of the club, within the playing staff of the club, or something, because these players, there's no way in the world, I swear, that this squad should be playing as badly as they are and have done for the last 3.5 years. There's got to be something. They can't all be appalling managers. And like Mark says, these players, before they come here, they're really highly thought of. People like Woods, people like all the players who we've signed this summer, although no major transfer fees were involved in these players were all highly thought of where they've come from. Even Joe Allen, who people are really giving a lot of stick to at the moment. You watch him play in the international games this week for Wales, and he'll probably be man of the match. So there's something going on at our football club. I have no idea what it is, but as Mark's seen and I've seen and we've all seen at the top of the oatcake thread tonight, you know, there's people releasing information in that club. Somebody's releasing information in that club about the team before it's supposed to be released. And it's been coming out virtually every match this season before the hour deadline, before the game. And I'll say something now on air. I think, was it Tuesday they played Leeds?
Yeah.
I received the team that Nathan Jones had picked to play Leeds away this week at 1:06 on the Tuesday afternoon. Now, I'm not the type of person who would have put that straight on Twitter and said, you know, here we are, here's tonight's team. There were 9 changes in that team on Tuesday, and the information I received from someone who had received it anonymously from someone else and they wanted to send it to me to report it, they got every change spot on. 9 changes in a team. And I received that 6¾ hours before the kickoff. Now, who's to say that Leeds United didn't get that information? And there is information coming out of the club from somewhere every week what the team is going to be. Now, somebody is trying to undermine Nathan Jones, in my opinion, and I have no idea why. Because who it benefits, I do not know. Mm-hmm. But if this information is appearing on social media at Stoke, then it's appearing at other clubs' social media, and other clubs are finding out our team before they should do. Now, whether that's having any effect on our results is anybody's guess, but it is an absolute disgrace. I have no idea who it is, and it's been reported, the club are aware, so somebody is trying to undermine the club for whatever reason, and we don't know who it is. Now, Ange mentioned this last week, and lo and behold, this week I've received the information myself. For the first time I received it. But 6 hours before the kickoff, what's the point of that, Mark?
Yeah.
And whoever it is going to get found out, and they're going to be in big trouble. But it's just an absolute disgrace. And it just, it upsets everybody. The players will be getting this information, won't they? If we're talking about it and it's all over the oatcake, that's why I mentioned it tonight. Because it's been, the team's been put on the oatcake as well, you know, well before it's supposed to be released. Mm-hmm. Now, who is doing this? Because I don't know what it is, but it's letting us all down, fans of the club and everything, and causing, I mean, the manager must be becoming aware of it, and he must be wondering what the hell's going on.
Thing is, mate, you're dead right in what you're saying, but I know people listening now will disagree with what I'm going to say. But it's not just that. It's people such as these fan pages releasing when players have gone.
Yeah.
And who we've signed before it's been officially announced. A leak is a leak. Now it's going to be more serious with the teams going out there. Now, I don't know about you, Russ, but certainly where I work, we have to go through ethics training. Okay, and we are told we have to accept things which, you know, we say we don't put anything on social media that can compromise the place that we work. We can't put any photographs on any social media in case there's something on the wall in the back or wherever else. And this is throughout industry, throughout working industry. Can't tell me Stoke City are any different just because it's a football club. You know, they've got to abide by this as well. And as you were saying, things are getting out of that club all the time. And I've been for a long time. It's now gone worse with the team sheet. Hmm. Now,
well, the club are aware of this now, so now, I'm sure they're investigating it anyway.
Now, I say, don't know for a fact, but companies that you work for are quite within their rights to monitor social media.
Hmm.
Okay? And if they see one of their employees putting something like that, not saying it's an employee who's posted it, but somebody has an employee
who knows the team? I mean, there can't be many people know it that early.
It'd be the manager, the assistant manager, who needs to go as well, by the way.
Get rid
of him. Mm. Get somebody in to help Nathan Jones mitigating. But coming back to that, and the players.
Mm.
And if somebody's not picked, who wants to be playing, maybe they're doing it. Mm. Maybe these players don't want to play for Nathan Jones.
This sort of thing never happens when things are going well, though, does it?
Well, no, but maybe the players don't want to play for him. We can say that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, look what happened at Leicester.
You know, with Ranieri.
With another tinker man. And they didn't even cover it up. They were absolutely dire. He got sacked, and they were absolutely brilliant the next game. They didn't even phase it in. I know.
Go on, you go on to the okay, Mark, because you've got a lot on there, and I'll catch up with Facebook.
Yeah, so Billy Big appendages, shall I say. I'd wear your tin hats tonight if I were you, Russ and Ange. There could be a lot of flap flying around. Is Joe still here? If so, he surely can't match long. He can't last much longer, can he? You succeeded in making a poor team into a garbage one. Sunday League managers could do a better job. It really is that bad. Where do I send my CV? Because I'm about to retire and will have a lot of time on my hands. Crouch Potato 1. It said, reluctantly, it's time for a change for me because I see no light at the end of the tunnel at this present time. When you consider we now need another 49 points, usual points total to stay up, to avoid relegation for your prediction yesterday, Ange with Matt, tongue-in-cheek, I know, for the playoffs. We need just under 2 points a game from now on.
Mm.
Can you honestly see a bloke that's won 4 in 29 achieving either at this present time? The board have got to act in this two-week break for me, so it gives a new manager time to complete his tactics and game plan going forward. All very sad because I really wanted Nathan to succeed. And that's all well and good, but a guy who would be fundamental in that getting rid of and somebody else in is on holiday, so that ain't gonna happen at the minute, is it?
No.
The club is a mess, and the coach family, this has been the plates, by the way. The club is a mess, and the coach family have overseen the implosion where we were 2 seasons before promotion. We need stability on the playing field and coaching staff, and repetitive changes are clearly harming the club. Sat Jones and who'd come to Stoke? It's been bandied around that the job was too big for him. But I reckon it's too big a mess for any manager at the moment. Personally, I like to see a transfer window for managers, and it opens and closes in June. That's it. You pick your manager for the season, and the players know they can't down tools and contribute to the sacking of the manager by downing tools.
Yeah.
Sadly, I'm not sure Peter Coates has the ability to pick a half-decent manager.
No, they've not done very well with the managers. They got, and people say they got lucky with Tony Pulis. But there you are. Because they would have had George Bailey.
Well, he was there, wasn't he?
In the stands there.
All signed, sealed and delivered, and it didn't happen.
No.
There we go.
No. I'm not surprised watching the game he watched.
Yeah. I can't remember which one it was now. What's
poor
one
game.
Bad game in thousands, Russ? Wingy 11. People keep saying we can't keep sacking managers. Yes, that's correct. But my question is, have any managers since we sacked Hughes ever been really any good? Hughes was sacked too late, but to bring in Lambert, a championship manager, while we were in the Premiership was a massive mistake. Lambert was full of belief and praise and got fans on board, but again, out of depth. If a decent calibre of manager was brought in, we'd still be a Premiership team. Maybe people would say if we'd have kept Hughes a little bit longer, we'd have been wouldn't have gone down. But there we go.
I think Ange even believes that.
Yeah.
And I don't think she was Mark Hughes' best fan.
No. We didn't, so we went down. So who then? We bring in Gary Rowett, who on paper was hungry and a half-decent manager. And to be fair, looking at it now, was doing okay. But still a championship manager. I look at Newcastle United at this point. They kept a Premiership manager and got back with Gary. Like I said earlier, his record don't look too bad now, watching what we're witnessing now.
Yeah.
Gary was sacked between 6 to 10 points from the playoffs for not playing more expansive football. In my eyes, his points kept us up last year. We then bring in Nathan Jones, a League One manager, what is the ambition there? What message does that send out to the players? The fans tried to believe in it, and some still do. But for me, it was a massive, massive risk. One we didn't need to take, to be fair. Nathan's energy alone was great and brought the fans together. But he basically wrote off last season to be ready for this one. But just look at the start and players brought in. With this in mind, is the blame totally on Jones? Post-championship season last year, he spoke about young, athletic, full of energy team that we could be proud of. The recruitment of players does not suit the words he spoke. So did Jones really manage to get his preferred targets, or were they fourth or fifth choices?
We'll never know.
The system he plays requires two fast athletic wing backs. We brought in a right back for me. Edwards would have been okay, but then failed totally with the left back. Lots of questions for me need to be asked, because it doesn't all add up. The win ratio alone is enough to get rid of Jones.
Yeah.
Never mind the goals conceded and possession. For me, I hate to say it, but it's going to take sacking yet another manager and then a massive, massive contract with bonuses, if needed, to appoint a tried and trusted high-end pedigree manager to get us safe and go again next year. Blimey. A very, very long post.
You have a rest.
It's a really good point, Russ.
And a lot of them have already been raised. And it's just, like I say, it's just a shocking situation. Dave Johnson says a consistent team would be good. Neil Price says, we haven't had a settled team or a system. We can't afford to be losing every week. We're playing catch-up and it will be too late. George Comerford says, get Chris Hughton in now and ship Jones out. Craig Barnett says, I just feel he's out of his depth. He doesn't know his best team. I think he signed too many players and this has contributed to no consistency and no cohesion. Stuart Nichols on a similar point says, too much swapping and changing players and systems. The players signed are lower championship or League One standard. Well, that is an interesting point. On the basis of what I've said about the like by the clubs they've come from. Yes, most of them have come from clubs who were lower championship clubs or League One clubs. Stevie Breeze says Scholes may be on his holes, but we've still shipped some out. That's on my list to talk about, Steve, later. So I'll leave that one for a minute. Barry Sherritt says, hi guys, we're on our fourth manager in a short time. Got new players in, but nothing has changed. Do you agree there's something wrong behind the scenes and it's not a manager thing but a discipline thing? If we do change manager, we do need someone strong like Moyes or Big Sam. I personally think another manager would just inherit the same problems. But much as I like Nathan Jones, I'm not sure if he is strong enough to sort this out. The next four games are huge, but again, I feel something is going on behind the scenes and is ruining our club. Well, Barry, you've heard what I've said tonight, and it's not good, is it? Matt Thomason says he's going for the dodecahedron system next. Nigel Keats says, all right, Mark, speaking the truth as usual from Charlotte and Emily's dad. There you are, Mark. Yep. Got fans there. Jonathan Michael Mitchell says we need a decent... Well, there we go. They aren't fans. Nobody will. We need a decent set of players and a manager that knows what he is doing. Matt Bolton says, I think we use this international break to take a serious look at other potential managers. It's not all James's fault. However, he's probably a better coach than a manager at this level. You make them good, but do we really hang around to wait? Yesterday I watched in that away end and it was a backward step. Offered absolutely nothing. Scott Price says, I went to Birmingham yesterday. I'm finally got to come out and say it. Nathan Jones has to go get Chris Hughton in. Martin Farmer says, evening all, we're tuned in for Mark's punditry. Is that somebody else who knows you?
Mr. Farmer.
Well, there we go. More fans. Martin Eagle says, a manager calling out the fans again just shows how detached this club is from its support. I really thought that was a mistake, I've got to say, especially after Ange said last week that he was being a bit more tempered in his comments. Mm-hmm. And then he starts having a go at keyboard warriors and all sorts of stuff. I mean, that's modern football. There's keyboard warriors everywhere, Nathan. Duncan James says, brilliant words, lads. I've no idea what particularly that's regarding. Rich West says, changing the manager won't change a thing. Duncan James says, appreciate the honesty, Russ. Jason Prince says, Pulis crying out for someone to steady the ship. John Woodall says, why does he keep playing McLean at left back? As soon as I see him in the team, you just know what's going to happen.
Right. Now, I don't like McLean.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a very good player anyway. Right, he's out of position, but when he's not out of position, you mentioned earlier why Afobe scoring. Well, maybe people are creating chances for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
We scored a goal yesterday, brilliant ball in.
Lovely.
From Smith. Good, you know, put in by...
Great goal, Lindsay.
Lindsay, okay. We've got a guy there who runs around like an headless chicken, worse than Joe Allen, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look up one iota... And then he does two things. Well, three things then.
Mm-hmm.
He does give silly fouls away, but he either hits the first man, right, and maybe gets a throw-in or a corner, which people seem to think is good play, but actually he can't cross. Or B, it goes out for a throw-in the other side of the pitch. There's not once where he's put it in and aimed for a player that's running in.
No, just progressed.
So, it's just hitting an area without doubt. And going back to the you know...
He's never been good enough.
No, he hasn't.
I'm supporting Nathan James still. I hope that's come across tonight. I don't want to see him sacked immediately. But this is one of the things that I'm afraid will get him sacked if he doesn't watch it. And that is the comments he made about James McLean and having all the attributes to play left back. I'm sorry, Nathan, he hasn't got the attributes to play left back. When he was going forward last week against Leeds in the first half, he was potent. There was some good threat there, but he hasn't got the defensive awareness to play that role. I'm sorry, Nathan, what you're seeing in him, I don't know. Now, that makes me a keyboard warrior, I presume, because obviously Nathan's got the coaching badges and, you know, the UEFA A badges, and I haven't. He's clearly seen something more than the... I don't think we want to make it clear. It's not a personal attack on James McLean, because he's not his fault. You know, he's not asking to play left wing back or left back. No. He's been put there.
Exactly.
If he's playing left wing and he plays badly, you can rightly criticise him, because that's his job. That's his role. And he does work hard. And he does come back and help the left back if there is one. Well, he can't help himself, you know, when in a defensive duty, because he can't do it. I mean, Angel Rangel scored his only goals, I think, last season in one game. against us. We're going against McLean last year against QPR.
A lot of goals have come from his side this season.
Yeah, but it's not. This is not, like I say, it's wrong. You can't say, "Oh, James McLean, you're rubbish," because he's been asked to do a role here that I'm not sure he's done in his career before, and the manager is bullying him up and saying, you know, he's got all the attributes to do this, that, and the other. Where ordinary Stoke fans, I'm sure, if they came out and said, you know, if they were honest with themselves, would say they don't think he can play left back.
No.
And
I've never
don't
heard
understand.
One I've never heard one to back him.
But what I don't understand, Mark, is we know his preferred target was the lad from Luton. Now, there's two problems with that. One is, if a Premier League club comes calling, which is what eventually happened, he's going to go there anyway. And the other problem I've got is, would Luton have sold him to us anyway?
Mm-hmm.
But then you come back to the point is, well, there's a loan window out there that's expired not that long ago. Surely there is, in one of the Premier League clubs from 1 to 20, a left wing back available who would have come to Stoke, and I just, or anywhere in Europe for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a left wing back. People, I know you didn't like Peters, but are you telling me Peters is worse than the current left back situation?
No, it can't be.
So why did he let him go?
I mean, we don't know why he let him go, Ross. Do we?
What do you think? Do you think he was a troublemaker?
Allegedly. Allegedly, we don't know this, but he's one of the names that was raised, wasn't he?
But when somebody says on the OK, how many questions are, there's another one.
Yeah.
We let an actual left-back go who, let's be honest, everybody has said he gave us good service for a long time and he played in the Premier League for a long time for us. But people said, you know, they didn't rate him, they didn't rate this.
No, a lot of people didn't.
Not just you. It's not you who's just saying that. But was he a better left-back than we've got at the club? The answer is yes. Must be.
Yeah. Well, he could play there, couldn't he?
He's, you know, but he's playing a system. He's playing a system. And he hasn't got the players to suit it, in my opinion.
Not at all. Not at all.
But that's just, you know, there we go. Anyway, on Twitter, Steve Johnson says Jones out. Tom Hall says the key thing is six games in and nothing has changed. If you give him another six games, nothing will be different. We're just wasting time keeping him on as manager. He needs to be gone tomorrow. Steve Johnson wants to knock the Dutton corner down. He says, because nothing good's happened since that was built.
And well, nothing any good's in there at the minute.
I think the club might do that, Steve, as long as you pay for the demolition. Glenboy says, I think he's got until Christmas, as the new window will be in January. Jacob Murray says, Swansea went down in a much worse position than us two seasons later, and one's top of the table and one's rock bottom with their worst ever league start.
Mm-hmm.
They've been through two managers as well. It's the board's fault, constantly reacting rather than being proactive. Angela Smith says, we've had the same lineup for 4 weeks. Russell Dutton and Potter's 1863 felt that it needed freshening up. I'm now practising throwing my toys out of the pram.
How far have they got?
John Sharrock says to Robin Tunstall, who supports Nathan Jones, why do you believe in him? Actual reasons rather than his media stuff. In 8 months, he's taken us from a mid-table, uninspiring team to a bottom-of-the-table shambles. Scott Goodwin, I think, is talking about a phobia when he says he's not available for the next game against Bristol City because you just know he would have scored against us. And I'm actually paraphrasing a little bit. Do you want to carry on the oatcake, Mark?
Yeah, certainly. Chesterfield Stokey has said, is it possible, can you please play the comments that Terry Conroy made on the Radio Stoke about who signs the players?
I'm sorry, I haven't been able to do too much audio today because I've been out, but apologies for that.
Yeah, Pooley Spall says, we can't have a different stable first 11. Is that too much to ask of our manager? Jones, quoted after the match against Blues, says, quote, we've got to keep working hard. We're trying different formulas and moving stuff around. But sooner or later, we're going to have to stick and say, this is how we're going to play. Well, don't you think he should know that after these many games?
That's the worrying
thing. And a pre-season?
That's the worrying thing. And I haven't seen any evidence of turning us into animals yet, Mark.
No, animals, no. Or
any fast-paced...
Fast-pacey, yeah.
Well, that's another thing. Again, as a supporter of Nathan James, you can't defend him on, because he said he was every player he was going to sign, he was going to be athletic, he was going to be this, that and the other. I can't see much of evidence of that in any of the people he signed.
No. Well, we mentioned earlier, are the fourth and fifth choices, because he couldn't get in who we wanted.
Mm.
Jason, what's it been?
I'm not so sure that's true, because these players, we all know, a lot of these players were signed quite a while before they were announced, all in that group of six, I think it was, wasn't it? You know, it was ages before they were announced all together, whatever. I think it was because they were waiting for their contracts to expire at the other clubs before they actually announced him, because they didn't want to start paying him until they had to, which is fair enough.
Even they got out.
Well, that was all leaked. That's true. But I didn't see any evidence in any of those players, goalkeeper accepted, of course, which doesn't really, you know, it's about the quality of keeper he is, it's most important. But I didn't see any evidence in those other five players of anybody who was particularly athletic. I just saw that they were good characters. And you know, and they were going to be missed by the clubs that they were from, yeah. But they've shown not much yet, apart from Gregory, who works incredibly hard.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't understand that the other week as well. Well, the last game I missed was against Derby, and Gregory and Hogan played really well. Then they go to Preston, don't play too well together, Hogan in particular. Then he drops him and doesn't pick Hogan again. Now, there was just, to me, there was a partnership starting there. Everybody said so.
Do you mean Hogan, who scored two goals and then got dropped?
I don't understand it. Like I said, there's so much you could say. And like I say, you don't want to turn this into... If Nathan was here, I'd love him to sit here and just explain to us why, if all the fans sitting in the stadium think there's a partnership developing, and Ange said, for the first time for ages, it looks like we've got two strikers who look like they could work mm-hmm. together. And work hard and could do something, and then they just disappear out of favour. I mean, one of them does.
To be fair to the players, we haven't seen enough of the others to make a judgment on.
No.
You know, Gregory, I admit, he's been in there more than all the others he signed, and I agree with you. He's not done too bad at all. You know, he had a couple of good shots yesterday again. First couple of minutes, good save.
He was very unlucky with the post yesterday.
When everybody's favourite midfielder missed the set.
I know, Mark, but being positive for a minute, and I want people to be positive if they feel like being positive on Facebook, but we aren't having any luck at the moment. There's no doubt about that. And that always happens when you're at the bottom. I mean, that shot that Gregory put in, why didn't he take the post and go in the net? You know, it goes out, bounces out. You want Joe Allen to hit it first time. He takes a touch. The chance is gone.
Yeah, but similarly, Ross.
Let's
backtrack a bit. A very, very poor back pass type shot comes in yesterday. Deflects off our player. Goes in the net.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Is that luck? Is that bad luck? Don't know. Is Jack Butland making two massive mistakes?
Oh, you that's know? Terrible. Yeah.
At Preston.
Yeah.
Is that dreadful? What's that luck? Is that bad luck? No, dreadful. That's downright garbage defending. Goalkeeping, that's what that is, Russ.
It's
that's
very
nothing
rare.
To do with luck.
I mean, that's very rare, Mark. I mean, you've been watching Stoke as long as I have. It's very rare we've seen two goalkeeping errors like that in a game from a Stoke goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember Gordon Marshall, who Joe Jordan signed?
I do.
You know, remember him letting one bobble over his hands in one game? That was one mistake, and the guy never recovered from that with Stoke fans. He had to go.
No.
You know.
Mate, we've had goalkeepers make loads of mistakes in the past. Watch it. I mean, you probably weren't born.
Yeah.
Oldham in the cup, game called off at half time due to snow and ice.
I was born.
Yeah, we lost the game 1-0.
Yeah.
John Farmer practically threw the ball in the net for Oldham and we lost. You know, incredible. But, you know, these are like incidents few and far between. Jack has now done three cock-ups in two games.
Yeah.
You know, the goal where he tried to boot it out, it's the back of our player. Their player gets put in the net.
Well,
that's not bad luck, that's tripe.
Well, do you know what? I'm not sure I blame Jack Butland as much for that, because why were the defenders not facing up?
No doubt, they were waiting for him to get move forward. Oh, don't let it go. Kustoki says, greetings from the heartland. No point repeating what's already been said. However, I swear to God, it's all Mrs. Kustoki's fault. We're 1-0 up, not playing great, but in control. And she came back from a Saturday morning bike club ride. She's done this before, so next time we're ahead, I'm locking the doors. So, there's the difference, Lant. Magwitch, I had some hopes for Nathan Jones, but regrettably, his record does not measure up. Gary Rowett looked a better manager, and the Stoke board must be wishing they had not fired him. A particular section of Stoke fans must be held responsible for this, and my man goes back to the Waddington Wall in 1960, when he had a similar problem to Rowett. Then, however, the Stoke fans just stayed away, rather than chanting personal obscene abuse. I don't blame Rowett for being upset by it, and Mike Pedgick was absolutely right in saying that he got a raw deal from the club, football-wise at least. One thing Jones has got right is that the problem with the present squad is psychological. Nothing else can explain how they consistently throw away chances by winning by silly errors and basic poor defending. The fear of this sort of thing happens every game increases the chance that it will happen. It's a sort of self-belief, the philosophy or prophecy. Jones has had 9 months to put this right without success, so I believe their belief in him as their know-all guru has gone. Excuse me. Thus his task is even harder than it was in January. For that reason, we want some water on tap, mate.
Yeah, we do.
For that reason, and what happened in January recruitment, I would go for David Moyes as an older, experienced figure who has more chance of imposing self-belief and the will to win of the present fragile squad. He needs a start to recovery now, so there's more chance of strengthening this squad this January.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So, Booth and End Boys, 1863. Evening, guys. Hope you're both well. We'll have to listen to this on podcast as I'm out tonight. We've got to give Jones time. If we get rid of him, then what? Who are we going to get? Who's going to want to come? And obviously, he says we are a poison chalice.
Yeah.
Say we change the manager. The next one comes in and says he needs 12 months to get his own players. Stick with him. No one can say we haven't had bad luck. We had 70 shots in the first 5 games. That's not Jones's fault. They haven't scored. Can everyone not see the fact that he's got us playing more attacking? I know last couple of ways have been 4-5-1, but that's because he wants to nick a 1-0 somewhere. Then get the ball rolling. That's what we need. A scrappy 1-0 win, and then we'll be fine.
I'm sure that's what he thought he was getting yesterday.
Yeah, well...
Didn't turn out that way.
No, it didn't, but we... I mean... As bad as we were yesterday, Russ, we were still far better than Birmingham were and lost. And to save a Charlton. But there we go.
Yeah.
You can't blame the manager for Butland not catching the ball. Stick with him no matter what. Big Vern. Big Vern, there's a blast from the past and the Viz days, on it, Big Vern?
Big Vern, yeah.
Am I the only one who was happy about our club's demise? When we were in the Premier League, I couldn't afford to go to the pre-season tournaments in the Far East and the US. But with our club's impending doom, I'm looking forward to next season's tour of the Isle of Man tournament.
The Isle of Man tournament.
followed by a really tough game against Newcastle Town.
Oh my goodness. Stoke Loud and Proud, Mark Espley says, if I was Jones, I'd make sure I set up my team the way I want it set out. I'd play the players I'd want in the team, whether that's a popular decision or not. If my job was on the line, I'd make sure it was my failings that got me sacked, so when I look back, I could say that I tried my best. Is Jones doing this at the moment? I don't know. Has he thrown the towel in on the diamond formation as he feels pressure to do so, or that he's brought players in to play it and then realised the players he has purchased are not good enough, or not as good as he thought, so now he has to go with plan A, B, and right now, plan C? At the beginning of the season, us fans could see a plan and structure of play, and versus Charlton and Derby, it was working. They're making massive individual errors, which rocked the team. A team that is not mentally strong, which baffles me with the fact Jones brought players in for that mental strength. Well, I'm fed up of hearing it, Mark, and obviously you are too. I honestly don't know which way this will go. I've never been religious in my life, but if God does exist, then he must hate Stave, because that's obviously a reference to Nathan's own religion. We've got Jason in Japan, I think this is. He says, well, Ange and Russ, after a little bit of success in midweek, we've come crashing down again. It was a pretty boring first half, 38th minute, I think, before we had a shot. Was very relieved to get our goal, but just had a sick feeling we wouldn't keep our lead. Sure enough, as night follows day, it happened again. But the most worrying thing about the game was Birmingham were terrible. They didn't offer any real threats, and we looked like two very ordinary championship clubs. What was the point of bringing on Campbell with 5 minutes to go? Where on earth do we go from here? One positive, Lee Gregory. Have a good week and I look forward to the podcast. Well, thank you for listening, Jason. Here's Mark back on the oatcake before I go back on Facebook.
Yeah, Wingy 11 again. He said, Gary Rowett, when he first came in, tried more attacking approach and soon found out them players weren't up to it.
Yeah.
Reverted back to a setup that got him points. It was horrible for some to watch. We're now creating more chances under Jones, but are wide open at the back, and goals conceded tells you this. For a club with promotion as an objective, in a manager who wrote of and had a free hit last season to get ready and firing for this, to have conceded 15 goals in 6 games already and to sit on 1 point against the teams we played is undefendable. The worst ratio for a Stoke City manager. I think somebody put some stats on. I know stats don't mean a lot. Results do. You know, winning does. But somebody put on that Jones has got an 11% win ratio compared with Rowett's 31. But I think one of the biggest things with Rowett, before he started to have a go at the fans, I think he sussed out how bad the club was very, very early in his tenure and tried to do something about it. And,
I think some of the fans are thinking we should have been a bit more realistic with Gary Rowett, to be honest, even though he spent a fortune.
Yeah. March 4 is asking again about the Terry Conroy comments, but obviously we've not got those, Russ, have we?
No, but I did hear Terry talking about the game afterwards on the on a little podcast or a little video with Matt Sandoz. I don't know whether you saw that, and Terry's just criticising uphill and down Dale about the spine. There's no spine in the team. Soft spine, I think he called us. We've heard it too long now. Somebody's got to sort it out. Anyway, Dan Mullock says, I've seen evidence of animals this season. Its trouble is they've all been donkeys. You know, so Nathan's turned them into donkeys as far as Dan's concerned. Michael Stockley says, I know both of you don't want the Cat 1 to return, but take all the emotion from it. It's the exact person the owners would bring back, in my opinion. I agree with you, Michael. I agree that you would bring him back. But it might, like I say, it might necessitate a change in the club as well in another area. If they sack Jones, do you think they would seriously consider it? Yes, I do.
Thing is, Ross, how many fans would they lose if they did that?
I know, but I think they will. I think they will. And he's asking
so
if
they're
asking.
Are they willing to lose the support of the club by bringing a guy who very few people enjoyed just because of what he did? You know, he took us to cup final. Fine. Took us in Europe, and we know how he treated that. Yeah. With the contempt, you know, and the football we were playing. So, come on, Mike. Yeah. Maybe they would bring him up. Coach Lutz probably still loves him, and, you know, he was in the area not long ago, wasn't he?
They probably do. Don
Ruiz and what have you. They probably do. But the fact is, you know, no. No, we've got. If we're going to get rid of Jones, it's got to be somebody completely different. Pulis has had two goes at it. Yeah? People seem to forget how bad the last 2 years were under him. Yeah? How bad it was, Russ. Let me remind you.
Was it as bad
you
as
sitting
this?
Here.
Was it as bad as this, though?
Results-wise, no.
No.
Football-wise,
are we in more need of results at the moment than enjoying what we're watching?
Yeah, of course we are. Of course we are. But he's not the bloke to do it.
Well, there we go.
He's not the bloke to do it, mate.
There are some people suggesting it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Why would they
suggest it? Let's look at the
facts. Because he's won games of football, I suppose.
Right. So somebody mentioned Sam Allardyce.
Yeah.
Let's get him in. Okay. Right, lads. Give me 50 million and then I'll have some money for the players I want to bring in as well. Yeah? Moyes. Let's bring him in. What's he going to do? You know, let's get him in, playing get the players playing the way he wants. And then all of a sudden we get this guy, his name keeps coming up and up and up. It failed the last time he came, and it will fail again if he comes. Because there is a lot of Stoke fans out there who would just chuck the season tickets in if he did.
Let Mike come back to you, because he says he understands the comments on losing support, Mark, but to be honest, looking at the stands, it seems most stay away anyway these days. Are the last 2 years under TP any worse than the last two or three years we've had? So he's throwing that one.
Well, yeah, he was the start of the rot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That started the rot. We had a nice little green period under Hughes.
For 3 years, yeah.
Until that fateful day at Anfield.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and I've mentioned it loads of times.
Yeah.
And then everything went down back from there, but the rot started there.
Which I still don't understand. We could keep, like I say, you could go back and you could cry almost about the issues. But anyway, you know where we were and how much of an impact we were making on the in-game of English football. And now we're just not even making a speck on the game of English football. We just dropped out of sight. It's shocking.
Yeah. Well,
people were getting used to it. Mark, we were getting blasé and used to getting to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, semi-finals of the League Cup, you know, FA Cup finals. We were getting blasé about it. We're a million miles away from that now.
Yeah, we are. I mean, there are other clubs who've done this, Ross, don't forget.
Oh, I know.
Look at Sunderland. This is a replica of what Sunderland did. Sheffield Wednesday, another club that were up there. Swansea, yeah, you know, maybe not Swansea, but they've done it, but they've come from lower, gone up and then gone back down again. But certainly people like Sunderland and Sheffield Wednesday, you know, there's been a massive decline.
Well, I'd just love to...
We seem to be going the same way.
I'd just love to know what is going on behind the scenes at the moment. And I'm not talking about the things I was talking about earlier on. I'd like to think what the liaison is between the manager and the chairman and all sorts of things at the moment and what support he's getting.
Okay, I'm going to throw something out there which will be massively unpopular.
Go on, then.
What does Rory Delap do at our club? What does he do? He's been bought in. I don't see his name mentioned at all in any shape or form in the under-23s, the under-18s, whatever, first team, no mention.
Isn't he a coach?
Well, allegedly, but doing what?
I don't know. Well, he appears on Radio Stoke.
Well, he did last week. Yeah. He did last week when he announced the team, so they found him something to do.
But you are cruel.
It's not that, Ross. It's just something else in the club that we don't need.
We don't know what it is.
Absolutely,
Like a lot of people at the club, we don't know what You know, we don't know what this new head of recruitment is going to be or going to be doing.
Well, rumour is he's a mate
of Nathan.
I was going to say an ally, but Nathan'll do.
Look, it doesn't matter as long as there's harmony behind the scenes and he gets things done that he wants to get done while he's here. That's okay. Steve Johnson says football is a results game, not an entertainment show anymore. If TP is the answer, not for me, says Steve, then the Coates family would not worry what we think. Well, we know that, Steve.
Plenty of proof of that.
Craig Eccleston says, get Badu and Dye back in, go back to the diamond and then play goalkeeper Davies. I might add Davies made a mistake in the under-23 game on Bank Holiday Monday night that cost them the game. So you know, I can't say anything else other than that. And the honest truth is he let a ball in that I think he should have saved. Right back Smith, centre back Indy, centre back Collins, left back Corrigan. That's Ryan Corrigan, under 23 from Man City.
Oh yeah, yes.
Okay,
he's a bit stumped there, mate.
Well, he didn't show me much that would justify him playing in the team. I must admit, on Bank Holiday Monday. But there you go again. You have to watch people 20 times now, you know, Mark, before you form an opinion on them. Woods. Who I don't understand why Woods was left out of the team at all yesterday.
At all.
He was not injured. I can tell everybody at home that he was not injured. That's what my information is anyway. But he was left out of the squad altogether.
Yeah, he was in the box, wasn't he?
I've no idea. Centre midfielder Thibaut, centre midfielder Ndai. Attacking midfielder Powell, well, he is another case. We knew before Powell came he would be more in the treatment room than he would be on the pitch, and lo and behold, what's happened?
He wasn't bad for the 45 minutes we had him.
He's more in the treatment room than he was on the pitch. Striker Campbell, striker Hogan. So Lynn Ribbon says, hi guys, why can't Jones see what the best formation and players to choose? Yet the fans can. Do you think one more defeat could be the end for Jones? No, I don't, actually. I think they'll give him a bit more time than that. Rich Lee says, I actually feel that we have a squad that could top this table. It's just the way they're set up and motivated. Oh, come on, Rich. You can't say this guy isn't a motivator, I swear. You know, he's enthused. Although it's been sucked out of him at the moment, you know, but you can't say this guy isn't enthusiastic. If you can't play for him, God help you. And anyway, we've had this before, haven't we, Mark? Players, professional players, why do they need motivating by the manager? They shouldn't go out there and perform anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay. But get out there and perform for us, for God's sake. We need a manager that's got promotion to the Premiership, surely. Got to look at TP or Big Sam. Craig Lewis says, don't think behind the scenes is the major issue. It's the weak mentality and the constant changes to lineups and personnel that is the main issue. Craig, we were told that we were signing character after character after character. And I'll tell you, Craig, virtually every one of the players that we signed this summer, whatever you think about their valuation and everything, they've been captains of their football clubs. Virtually all of them. Tommy Smith, another one. Andy Firneo says, why did we play Dufit right back? Was he right back? I can't remember. Yeah, he was right wing back, wasn't he?
Well, he's one of the outcasts, isn't he, Duf?
Tom Lavin says, probably because Ward, who we signed from Burnley, makes McLean look like Roberto Carlos. Rob Wilshaw says, forget Pulis, there's an absolute first-class manager available in Chris Hughton. Lynn Ribbons, funnily enough, says, do you think we need a director of football? Chad Lakin says, Coates won't sack Jones, it'll cost too much. The new manager will want Lillians to build his own team, plus who would really want to come to us? Gary Pardy says, my mum said to me when I was a boy, she said you should ignore some things in life, and I am now taking her advice. That's in relation to Melanie's post earlier on when she said the time to get the coats is out of this club. Stuart Nichols says, why do they get nothing from anyone above Nathan Jones at this club? Yes, they're extremely quiet at the moment, aren't they? The chairman, yeah. CEO and everybody else, although we know why the CEOs are quiet. Mm-hmm. Ben Cliff says, James has been in charge since January. People will say we need to give him time to rebuild. Can anybody honestly tell me that since James has come in, we've gotten better? No, we've gotten 10 times worse. Rebuilding means improving what we had and starting to see positive ways and moving forward. We haven't done any of that since James came in January. That is now rebuilding. That's declining. He needs time. He's had time. 3 wins in 29 matches, in charge for 8 months and 3 wins. Swansea get a manager this pre-season. They lose Oliver McBurney, their main goal scorer. They lose Daniel James, who was their main player, an excellent footballer, by the way, I might add. They don't replace any of them. 5 wins and 1 draw in 6 games. With a manager who's new to the club, I rest my case. The people who support Jones like myself can't argue with a word of that, and it's getting more and more difficult, I appreciate. Gary Eagle says, where are Coates and Scholes? If we were top of the league, they would be inviting the media in 24-7. Matt Bolton says, Russ, Gregory for me yesterday was excellent. His hold-up play was very good. Worked so hard for us. If only everyone else did that. Eerie to that, I think Lee Gregory is completely blameless so far. He's doing his best every time he turns out. Paul Heath says, Jones is out of his depth. The players don't respect him. He needs to be removed now. And either Tony Pulis or Chris Hughton appointed next week. We are already 4 points adrift. Yeah, we are. Duncan James says, thanks for doing this show, Russ and Mark. It's very important to many of us. You're so kind, Duncan. There's a lot of people getting things off their chest tonight, I think, on all sorts of social media. Yeah. James Frankham says, he still doesn't know his best 11. Pre-season is not for this. Well, with a question mark, I totally agree with you. And I think one of his big problems has been the things that he has said are now hanging him up by the yard arm, to be honest. And I shuddered at some of the things he was saying and praying that they came off for him, because it's just all going to be trotted out to criticise him. But like I say, there are things going on that I just don't like behind the scenes, and this releasing the team is one of them, because that can only be people causing problems behind the scenes. I don't like it. Lynn Ribbons says, there's a massive internal issue from the staff to the players. Why not play a simple 4-4-2 instead of a silly diamond all the time? Steve Breeze says, drop Allen, drop Ince and drop McLean. In fact, sell them, says Stevie Breeze. Rich West says, the club is rotten inside out, but it won't stop me from going and getting behind the team. Rich, you're brilliant. I just wish there was something to get behind, mate. We all do. We're desperate for something to get behind. It's years now since we've had something to really get excited about, even a game of football, really, to get excited about, let alone a consistent run of games to get excited about. Adrian Sutton says, what does Paul Hart bring to the coaching staff? It doesn't seem to do much to me, which is your point, Mark. Gary Pardy says, it's chopped and changed all the time. You just said the fans don't know who's playing each week. Well, the players don't know. Lee Stokey says, yeah, get rid of Nathan James before we're relegated. Dave Price says, unfortunately, the job is too big for Mr. Jones. Lynn Ribbon says, changing the squad week in, week out isn't going to form a stable 11. Dean Merritt says, making 5, 6 and 7 changes is a recipe for disaster, and it's proving to be. I like the guy, but he's now got to go. Joanne Campbell says, I bet all these top quality managers are going to be knocking our door down now, especially if we put another manager on the dole queue. That's the problem, I think, with sacking yet another manager. Steve Morris says, we can't trust our directors to choose a manager. I heard somebody saying, employ an independent consultancy to pick the manager. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, that would never happen here, would it? Scott Price says, Peter Atibo and Lee Gregory were excellent. We were the better side until we went 1-0 up. The system and not having the same team is an issue. Paul Higgs says, what's the point in prolonging the agony? He comes across as a decent guy, yes he does, but we're heading for 30 games with 3 league wins. Who else could have survived a run like that, Mark? Absolutely. What do you think?
Yeah, no, he's right. He's right. You know, you can only be nice so much, can't you?
Yeah. Dex Sarge says, he's had a full pre-season with the squad and 5 league games. Why does he insist with this diamond formation, which clearly isn't working? Tom Ince down the middle is awful in my eyes. Tom Ince was getting a lot of stick yesterday from a lot of people.
Well, he was non-existent yesterday, wasn't he?
You said he wasn't putting his shift in at all.
And I actually think he's one of our better players.
Yeah, and this is the problem with Tom Ince, I think, where, you know, he floats in and out of games, and if he's not effective, it looks awful. John Woodall says, Jones said in pre-season that he says what the type of player he wants, and then someone goes out and brings them in. Yeah, well, this is why I say we need the structure sorting out at Stoke so he knows actually responsible for all this. Wayne Adams says, it's a results business and Jones is not getting the results. Let's face it, I can't see him changing it. He has to go for me before it's too late. Joanne Campbell says, changing the team in formation so drastically is a sign of how desperate Jones has become. We've broken another manager. Fans are to blame right now, and there is no way to turn it round unless Guardiola took over, and no manager of any quality wants to come here now. Get behind the team.
I think they are getting behind the team. How much can you do, Mark? How much can you do?
Well, we've said, haven't we? We've got two extremes here, Russ. We've got fans who go away matches, week in, week out, and go and support the team. And then at home games, we've got the fans that walk out on 65 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not, there's no centre ground here, is there really? And like you've rightly said, put something in front of us that we want to get behind, and Stoke fans will do.
I've said that for
They always have done. History says that.
Stoke fans, Mark, Stoke fans are brilliant. They know. You know, they might not have coaching badges, but they know whether the players are worth getting behind or not and are putting the shift in. And at the moment, we're still in the situation, which I can't believe this season, to be honest. I thought Nathan Jones would have sorted this more than any of the other managers we've had in the recent past. But we've still got a team that the fans do not believe in. Yeah. And Stoke fans know there were games last year, few and far between, I accept, where the fans were electric on games where the players were actually performing 1-11 for us.
Yeah.
And I can think of Leeds, I can think of Derby, I can even think of Nottingham Forest, which was, you know, Afobe that game never stopped running, and that was the Afobe I thought we'd signed when we signed Afobe. Mm. And we didn't see that often enough. Stoke fans are brilliant if the fare on offer is 100% commitment. The players all pulling in the same, yep, you know, pulling the same way, and we haven't had it. And we talk about the reason why it's so much of a worry that we are adrift already. And I say adrift, we're 4 points off safety already. When was the last time we won two games on the trot, let alone a run of 10 games, 20 games unbeaten, you know, to move up a table or win promotion. We've just not looked likely for years now of actually putting any sort of run together. Now, when's that going to... Who can change that?
Well, Nathan Jones can change that, Ross.
Right.
And the reason he can change it is that to find out where the problem lies on the pitch, okay, you change little things one at a time, okay? If you go and change six players and something goes right, you don't know what in those six players is the thing that's put it right. All six won't have done. They won't have done. No chance will they have done. And that's what I'm saying. You've already said Woods, Butland, whatever. Collins, I believe Collins was injured yesterday. I don't know. But before the game, nothing was mentioned about that. Not even in the squad.
No.
And then wholesale changes from the team that played the other night. Yeah. You can't do that.
I mean, it has been a very busy month. And that's the only thing. It's eight games, hasn't it?
We're talking of competition football here, not some game on Woolstanton Marsh,
and we are,
where we can play A team against B team.
And I want your comments on this, because at the start in pre-season, what did he say? I want 20 first team players.
Yeah.
And we've got about 25 to 30.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we've got too many players to be the dross. And we've got too many. We could, as somebody said on Facebook earlier on, we could field two sides. I think Terry Conroy said that yesterday.
Yeah.
We could field two teams at the moment, and there's no difference between them.
Well, we are bottom from three or four. We're fielding a different team every time we play.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, Sado scored again.
Never mind.
Here we go.
So, Kustoki,
go on
the oatcake.
Yes, sir.
He's got a different, completely different opinion about our forward line. What about Hogan? He scored two and hasn't been seen since, which you said.
Yeah.
Gregory has done nothing at all. But there we go. People's opinions.
Well, he hasn't scored, has he? But his work rate has been phenomenal.
Yeah, he does. Also, Kustoki said, Ange said that we have a sports psychologist working with the players.
I'd love to know who it is.
But in that is their opinion, they don't appear to be working with the management, which is equally as important. So, I1 Bob, Lambert, played 16, won 2. Rowett, played 29, won 9. Jones, played 29, won 4. Played 74, won 15.
It's disgraceful.
Shambles.
It's disgraceful. There's no other way to say. Disgraceful.
Yes. Barnes, SCFC 1. Russ, problem is with recent managers, we don't know what the problems are and can't put them right. All I know, it's a complete shambles.
Well, I'd like to know. I'd like to think that the managers do know what the problem is. Why can't they put it right?
I don't know.
They should know better than anyone what the workings of the club are, what they're not happy with. And let's be frank, Rowett kept mentioning it, didn't he? He kept talking about our transfer policy, and it was the strangest. I think it was the strangest club he'd ever been at in relation to the way transfers are done.
Yeah.
You know, so what is it? What is that strange way these transfers are done? And I bet Gary Rowett can't say a word because he'll have signed a confidentiality agreement for his payoff.
Of course he will.
You know, so, like I say, if we don't know what the issues are, we can't really say. But what we do know is there must be something because, you know, when teams are just not performing, there's got to be a reason. I don't believe that these players are trash. I don't believe that.
Well, we know they're not.
I don't believe it. We've got some really, really good players, in my opinion. And what I hate is, the moment we sign them, we seem to just turn them into garbage straight away. They've been Liam Lawrence, Lords Woods, all the time. And this is a guy who's been on the same pitch as Woods when he was a much younger player. You know, he said that Woods has got the passing range of someone like Charlie Adam. We know from all the criticism of Charlie, he could spray a pass around the pitch. Mm-hmm. We never see that.
No. That's because of the negative way, isn't it? That he asked him to play.
So these players come into the club, and then for some reason, they get turned into poor players within a matter of weeks.
Yeah. Well, the fact is, I saw a post on Twitter, I think it was the other day, or no, was it? Doesn't matter. About picking Cousins, you know. Oh. And I think it was Smithy from the Sentinel said, well, it was like it was a straight choice between Woods and Cousins. Well, that isn't Woods' position.
There isn't a choice between those two players. Woods there is by far. But like, even Ange accepts that Cousins is his one dodgy transfer as far as she's concerned. She just can't see why he signed him.
Yeah. Paul Spencer. I'll read Stokey Mark in a sec. But Paul Spencer says, do you guys know when Scholes is back off his holidays?
Cheers. No, I'm not. Well, I presume the person who's been leaking the team sheets knows when he's back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the leak I heard was he was in Japan, so perhaps Sanuki J can find him and ask him when he's coming back.
Yeah.
But
go on, you want to read
that? Don't shoot the messenger.
You read that. You read that one, and then I'll go on to Facebook.
Stoke Mark, Nathan Jones has to go. The real results determine we have no alternative. He has promised so much and delivered so little. Yes, we like him, but the talk has proved to be just that, talk. However, we have to change the way that decisions are made at Stoke. Poor managerial decisions and appointments are clearly at the root of our issues, and we must look no further than the board for this and why this is the case. Why have we never considered a foreign manager? Okay, we went for Kiki Sanchez Flores, whatever his name was, QCF,
QSF. Who we nearly grabbed.
Yeah, well, that ended up being yet another farce and a long-running series of farces. How many lower division managers make the grade in the top two leagues these days? Hardly any is the answer. Since the proclamation of self-sufficiency was made, we've been in terminal decline and the club allowed to be mismanaged by Scholes and Coates Jr. Until people who understand what is required to make proper footballing decisions based on knowledge and experience, rather than balancing the books, nothing will change. Nothing.
There's a lot to, like I say, and Mark has been someone who's, I know, has had a lot of stick for when he used to criticise the Coates family and whatever, you know, when we were in the Premier League. Mark, you know the sort of stick you were getting, you were spot on. Because in the Premier League in the last two or three years, they did let us down. But what they haven't done since we've been in the Championship is let us down. I mean, they gave Gary Rowett a lot of money to spend, more than any Championship manager could ever dream of having.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, they've done a different thing, but they've gone a Bosman-type route on most of the players. And that hasn't worked either. So, you know, but you can criticise them all you like for the last 3 years of the Premier League, as far as I'm concerned, even though they got us there, obviously, with their money. Andy Carroll says, since Hughes, the whole squad and backroom staff has almost completely been overhauled. It's the mentality of the squad. It's just terrible recruitment and a lack of quality. Do you really think, Andy, the quality of the squad is poor? I still think the quality of the squad is one of the best in the Championship, I have to say. Mick Johnson says, good evening to you. Both nice to see you. And nice to see you, Mark. Sorry about my ignorance about Charlton. Where do we start? In my own opinion, people moaning about the Coates family, are they for real? Who in the world would want to buy us if it wasn't for the Coates? We'd probably be looking for an exit like Berry. Our manager talks the talk, but definitely doesn't walk the walk. 38 years as a season ticket holder. This is as bad as I've seen. How long do we let this run? Carl Birk says, Scott Hogan scores two goals and doesn't start. Since, Joe Richards says, are we missing Shawcross? We talked about that last week. I'll save you from that one, Mark. Andy Furnio says, Sam Vokes, three starts, two goals. Lee Stokey says, oh, hang on. Sam Kelly says, these pair aren't true supporters. Oh, really? Question is on holiday, and the other doesn't get into the ground on time to see anything.
Oh, right. Okay.
Thank you, Simon. Yeah, we are true supporters, actually. Martin Eagle says, people don't want Pulis back, which is understandable. But to quote Mark Hughes, who else is going to do it? Dave Johnson says, completely agree, Russ. It's that long since that post was done. I've no idea what it's about. Barry Sherritt says, next four are all winnable, but anything less than 8 points. I don't think Nathan Jones will have any more excuses. Sue Beardy says, surely their salaries should motivate them. It's not all Jones's fault, but he does need to stick with one team and not to keep changing so many players. Simon Kelly says, I'm still waiting for the winnable games Butland said we had in the Prem. Stuart Nicholl says, him and Rowe didn't use Afobe correctly. He's one-dimensional, but will score with a certain ball played in front of him to run onto. Totally agree with you, Stuart. We hardly did it. Carl Birk says, our club is rotten from top to bottom at the moment. Garen Woolley says, I think John Coates has a lot to say in it. That's presumably about the running of the club at the moment. Jason Gibley says, I wonder who is releasing it. Is it a player or an agent? I don't know, but I'm sure the club will find out. Jason. Steve Roberts says, just think if Mark Hughes was still the manager, we wouldn't be in this mess. Maybe still in the Premier League, says Steve, with a smile. Then the smiling emojis coming after that one. Dave Johnson says, I don't think that Hughes, Lambert, Rowe and Jones were or are bad managers. The problem lies elsewhere within our club. Duncan James suggests, is it a disgruntled player, which is something you suggested, we just don't know.
Yep.
Stewie Good says, the mistakes need addressing a lot harder because they keep us keep occurring game after game. Yes, we're playing decent football, creating chances, but these stupid mistakes are killing us. And centre-backs shouldn't be trying to ping 40-yard passes because we're wasting possession far too easy. Barry Sherritt says, still think player-wise we have a bad few apples. Lee Fallows says, I saw Saturday's team for Birmingham on Thursday afternoon. The formation and players were spot on. Incredible.
Thursday afternoon?
It's a disgrace.
Thing is, if you've seen it, where's he seen it?
It's been released anonymously, as far as I know, and people are picking up on it. Somebody's released it.
Where has that been put? That guy
it's
has
been
seen
on the OK. Some of them.
I believe, yeah, but when did it go on there?
Well,
I mean,
exactly.
I don't, you know.
Well, some people like me receive that information, you know, 6 and a bit hours. What am I going to do with it, Mark? I'm not going to post that on social media,
absolutely,
am I?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the first thing I did was, let's put it this way. It got to be known by the club that this was happening. But let's just say, for argument's sake, I was a Leeds fan. Or I was, you know.
Or Bielsa was his binoculars.
Or whatever. I mean, it's just, that's enough time for them to change their team. If they believed. I'm not about that.
That knocks your 6 hours into a cock, that, mate. I'm afraid. Thursday.
But that's just an example of what we're talking about. You know, it's not just this. It's something, they've got to get in there and find out what's going on. Sorry. Leonard Smith, fair point from Leonard, says leaks aren't the reason how we're playing, which is, you know, it's fair comment, but it just provides, I'm sure if the players know about it, it provides problems behind the scenes.
Yeah, just a bit of an advantage for the opposition, isn't it?
Yeah.
If they know what they're going to be playing up against.
Does anyone know how and why Carter Vickers was sat outside in the Birmingham, he was injured, I believe, in the Birmingham car park after the game? On his own while he was leaving, while everybody else was leaving on the coaches, or maybe he was going back down to London and the clubs were, you know, the club players were coming back up here. Gary Eagle says, bring Lou back as director of football. John Campbell says, James has done nothing but turn these unsuccessful players around. McLean, Ince, Clucas, even Afobe. The players are under way too much pressure from the fans. Come on, Mark, I'll leave that one with you.
Under pressure from the fans? You know, at the end of the day, Ross.
If they perform,
depends which side, you know, where you sit with this. You pay your money, you're allowed to, you know, within reason, to say and voice your opinion. You know, short of going too far with that. But come on, how can that be? Have you heard Ince been booed? Have you heard these players been booed? I certainly haven't. McLean, maybe. At some places, and obviously we spoke about a phobia stroke Vokes, but you know, pressure from the fans.
I think what you grew up with and what I grew up with,
the footballers,
in the 80s, in the 80s and 90s. Can you imagine how these players would have been treated by Stoke fans? And we're talking about it was only 10,000 in the ground at that point. You know, yeah. I mean, they wouldn't want to come out on the pitch again. Paul Sutton says, a lot of the fans have lost faith with Jones and have stopped believing in what he says. Do you think the players have also stopped believing in him? Well, that's a possibility. Michael Stockley says he doesn't think he should be anywhere near the first 11. The guy did everything he could never to play for us and get out of the club. He should rot in the under-23s now. The last player who will bust a gut when the chips are down. Last player we need near the team. Then Danny Cook in response says, did he? Has he put in a transfer request? Has he gone on strike? All this hate for Ndai is wrong. If he'd gone all of the above, if he'd done all the above, I would agree, but he hasn't. He's trained every day, and Jones is impressed with him. Stoke fans page says, I think it's time that Jones went before it's too late, and the new manager will have a couple of months to assess the squad and then prepare for January. Casserot Biscuit says, it's a great show as always. Haven't sent a message in a few years, as I've been stunned from afar about our decline. Love the club, but been thinking about us for a while. They say everything is cyclical in history, so we have just ended up back where we have been. Stokey Matt says, good point, Mark. I can't remember what it was about. That's the same logic when installing on a PC. Change one at a time so you know if it's stable and working correctly. Michael Stockley says, but Ndai's done everything but hand in a request. SCFCJ says, Gary Monk or Chris Hughton would be my picks. Buying Oatcake says, Hughton. Howard says, the team except Butland that played on Tuesday look more than competent than Saturday's. Idea, let's completely change it on a Saturday. That's more criticism of Nathan Jones. Michael's given his predictions for the next six games, which is Bristol City, Brentford, Crawley, which is a cup game, forget that for a minute, Stoke versus Forest, Stoke v Huddersfield, Swansea versus Stoke, and Stoke versus Fulham. And Michael thinks we'll get 2 points out of the next six matches. Nice. He doesn't. He thinks we're going to lose at home to Bristol, lose away at Brentford, draw at home to Forest, draw at home to Huddersfield, and lose at Swansea and lose at home to Fulham. So if that's the case, we'll be in deep, deep trouble by the end of that.
No kidding.
Chris Rossi says, do you think Hughton is realistic? I think he is. Reading Brighton's fans' views, is he just not another Pulis? I honestly believe the idea of picking Jones was the correct one, a Vieira Gerrard-esque sort of decision. We have got to think of the future. Hughton may solve the problem short term. And he also goes on to say about Monk, maybe. I think sticking to young, hungry managers is the best way forward for this club. People forget the divide during the Pulis era. Well, we don't, do we, Mark? You go on to the Oatcake, and then I'll carry on.
So Janet Jacob says, two players per position to fight the places. Surely this encourages individuals to show off their skills to impress the manager at the expense of the team. Now is the time to stick with 11 who are best fit for a team performance. Jones needs to be prepared to leave out players not fit in the system and get some continuity. Belt, bang on. Those three players mentioned earlier. Leave them out. Give this a few more games and judge if there's any signs of improvements. Man in a suitcase. Diamond is a form of carbon. Coal is a form of carbon. Coal is generally a misshaped lump. Stoke's formation is currently coal. Oh, well, there we go. So, Clem said, Tony Pulis on more than one occasion has been found to, how can I phrase this, on the wrong side of the law. Ooh. Gillingham and Palace come to mind. Would our owners even consider him now? I most certainly hope that they don't.
Right.
I don't know what they're referring to there, apart from payouts, but I don't know.
Well, he has had a couple of court cases, hasn't he?
Yes.
You remember that?
There's quite a few things about this Terry Conroy interview, but, you know, unfortunately we've not got that, so
you
may find that on the Radio Stoke webpage or whatever
else. Got 100-odd messages here on Facebook, which I'm going to read through as quickly as possible now. Gary Pardy says, Marcus said perhaps they don't want to play for Jones while the players had a meeting with each other. The problem is all 37 turned up, but no one knew who was playing in the next game. Lynn Ribbon says, do the players realise they earn a year's wage for some people in a week? Fans spend their hard-earned money to watch this garbage week in, week out, yet they don't seem proud to wear the shirts. If they did seem proud to wear the shirts, the fans would be right behind them. This is my point from earlier on. Daniel Stevenson says, I really wanted to work for NJ, but the players seem like they simply want to stick the boot in again on another manager. And anyway, what is another manager going to do? Any manager who comes in will have NJ's players now, so we'll have the same old and no one will touch us as a club, as we become a poisonous dressing room that ruins the careers of any manager, but not the ones who are paid to perform on the pitch. Martin Eagles, this is how far these comments are going. Martin Eagles says, George Burley was at the Watford game, October 2002. Stuart Faulkner says, the sack is coming. John Woodall says, get rid of Scholes. Simple. Michelle Lee says bring him Lee and Lawrence. He talks a lot of sense, so we might have some dogs on the training ground. Never know. Tommy Bristow says we're presuming the owners want us back up. Well, there we are. Brian Davies says play the same team we played against Derby. Too many changes every game. Leonard Smith says you want Roy Keane if it's a discipline issue. Yeah, you want Roy Keane if you want to fight in the dressing room, I would think, with our lot. Sean Allen says bring back Tony Pulis. Lynn Ribbon says, do you think we should have gone for Graham Potter? Oh, it's so difficult, this. I really wish Jones would work. Mark Espy says, we don't need Scholes here to ship players out. We do to sign players. Cartwright is still here. The European window shuts to oversee players leaving. Scholes is entitled to holiday with his kids during the school holidays, surely. Maybe he is.
Yeah, but he's had 5 weeks, hasn't he? They go back to school tomorrow.
I don't know how many weeks he's had off.
Never mind.
And it doesn't seem as though it's affected getting players out too much. Lynn Ribbon says, watch Lindsay for 3 games now and I've lost count of the amount of times he's misplaced passes. Stuart Faulkner says we need to go 2 up top. Lee Williams says, it's the players who are not good enough. Martin Mason says, the left back we had Mark Salah out of the game against Liverpool, but according to Jones, he's rubbish. That was in the, you know, well, he did, didn't he?
He did.
Mark Salah out of the game.
I was there. He did.
You'd have to admit that, don't you, Mark?
I'll hold my hands up. He did.
Yeah. Lynn Ribbon says, for a start, we need to play Campbell and Hogan up top. Paul Heath says, Jones thinks McLean is a good left back. That's enough to sack him alone. Lee Davies says, sack the manager now before it's too late. 3 wins and 29 games in the league isn't it? 6, where we can judge him from. Nathan, if anything, it's got worse. Were you paid to take us into League One? So not a fan there. Carl Berg says, we need to act... I'm not a fan of Nathan, sorry, Lee. I didn't mean you're not a fan. Carl Berg says, we need to act quickly or we'll be another Sunderland. Maybe we are already. Steph Buckley says, we need to get behind the team and support the manager and the players. Lee, well, I think we are. But we are in the game anyway. Lee Williams says, if we sack Jones, who would you bring in? The players are the same. CJ Rowley says, get Dean Whitehead out of retirement. Stuart Faulkner says, would you play Bruno Martins Indy? Well, based on his performance at Leeds, he played really well. Barry Sherritt says, okay, get rid of Jones and watch things change. Not. Craig Barnett says, we want Houghton. Alex Montazzi says, I'm sticking the faith with NJ. But if things continue on this path, Chris Houghton would be surely the best realistic man for the job to sort out our losing mentality. Mm-hmm. Scott Price says Pulis won't ever come back because of Tony Scholes being there. I agree with that, Scott. Until he goes, I don't think he would come back because I think the relationship got really bad. Barry Sherritt says, Paul Heath, Pulis no, Houghton not strong enough to sort this mess out. If NJ goes, Moyes or Big Sam... Stuart Faulkner says we've got players in on the cheap, which is an argument you can make, but no player is ever free. Mm-hmm. We always remember that. No player is ever free, even though they come on a bosom and the signing on fees and all sorts of things like that. CJ Rowley says, sell if Jai would sort this mess out. Lynn Ribbon says, even Bananarama have just said, Nathan Jones, you've been on too long. Stuart Nichols says, we now probably need 48 to 52 points to stay up from 40 games. 1 point from 18 available so far does not bode well. CJ Rowley says, I've heard John Carew is about still. Alex Montarsi says, bang on about the strikers. We all saw the partnership developing. Not really any point bringing Hogan in on loan unless he sees him as a big part of the season. I couldn't agree more. That's a point we raised last week, Mark, about all the players he signed this season should be starters, and they haven't been, have they?
No.
Scott Brooks says, BMI, Hogan, Campbell, Edwards, all starters. Let's get one thing straight. How can we play attacking football with no wingers and play in a defensive system? Stoke have always been known for wingers, and it was better under Pulis. 5-4-1, we're going back years, and it was far worse. Why can't they play 4-3-2-1, holding midfielder, attacking midfielder, and two wingers? Ted says, aye boys, Premiership, Championship, any other division, we will always be Stoke. We would be and we'd like to enjoy it as well, Ted. Stuart Nichols says, you make your own luck, no excuses about luck. This is true, actually. Simon Bailey says, you know you want about that Oldham game. It was Roger Jones. Yeah, not John Farmer. He's a bit too modern for John Farmer. That was 1979 or whatever it was. CJ Rowley says, it was a brilliant idea. Whose brilliant idea was it to sell Fye? It's their fault. Cheers, mate. Son's crying. Michael Purcell says, can't keep carrying players like Ince, for instance. No pun intended. Link Craig Ribbons says, clubs go on a team bonding exercise to take them to League One games and say, right, lads, this is where we're heading if you don't start performing. Lee Williams says, 4-1-2-3 formation, Ward, Indy, Collins, Edwards, Woods, Powell, Atibo, Ince, Hogan, Campbell. Scott Price says, Hogan and Gregory started a potential partnership with the Derby result and should have had more games together. Yesterday, Hogan came on as a sub, then a bit after Gregory went off for Tyrese. Campbell, CJ Rowley says, row it in. Ben Cliff says, Jones has a worse record than Chris Kamara, and Chris Kamara had a team of pub players. Janecki Varney says, every time in every game so far, Butland has made mistakes. You could tell it took the stuffing out of the players. They lost their confidence. Here we go again. Neil Price says, hasn't Pulis got a beef with Tony Scholes? They don't like each other. I can't see TP coming back. I agree with you, Neil. Steve Price says, maybe get Pulis in to help Jones, not replace him. I'm not sure Tony would want to take an assistant role on. I'm sure he'd want to manage still. Paul Heath says, Pulis is the man to bring in. He's been there, done it. Best manager we've ever had. How did he fail? He got us up into Europe. The rot started under Hughes. Danny Marsden says, what if we sack Jones and someone new comes in? Pulis, Moyes, Big Sam, Houghton. And they do the same results right-wise, what them? We've got to stick at some stage and just work at it game by game. It's absolutely gutting, but we need to dig in. Paul Gardner says, I would like to see how many people calling for TP to come back would actually go to the games. He was fantastic for us, but we must be realistic. We have to attempt to move forward, not backwards. You'd nod at that.
Absolutely.
Martin Eagle says, would Mark give a detailed description of every member of staff role within the club? And I don't think we do. We do know what every member of staff role in the club. That's probably what you said about Rory Delap.
Yeah.
Stuart Nichols says, no more Welsh managers. Neil Price says, if Jones goes, Chris Houghton is the ideal man. Two promotions from this league. If not, look at Gary Monk or Nigel Pearson, who know the club and would take no nonsense from any player. Nigel Pearson does seem to have disappeared off the face of the earth, doesn't he? Alan Swindle says, Pulis, 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 and then with some emojis which would indicate that he doesn't think it's a good idea. Robert Cook says, I'd try Collins in defensive midfield. Good grief. Nick Carson says, try Collins in midfield. Are you joking? May as well try Ince in goal. Carl Olin said, yeah. Winning you get paid, losing you forfeit your wages. My goodness, our players would be in the food bank, I think, if we had that for the last 3 years. Daniel Stevenson says, John Pearce, he summed it up brilliantly. It's like Superman struggles with kryptonite. Once they pull on a Stokes shirt, they lose their powers and they never return again. Robert Cook says, obviously being a bit silly there, a lad who though can carry the ball forward and pick passes out to defend is worth a try, and that's who he's talking about, Nathan Collins, because he did have a lovely run, didn't he?
Yeah, there's a post here.
Go on.
From Lerthroyd on the Oatcake, saying Nathan Collins has been ruled out of the Irish squad for Armenia due to injury, so
that's
that
a
pretty
shame.
Much backs up why he wasn't in the squad.
That's a shame for him. John Blood says, it's no use bringing Pulis back. The cage requires 8 disciplined players to work. We don't have those players. Gary Pardy says, he changes the team. No one knows he's playing week in, week out, and he's not got a plan. As soon as he sorts that out, the job's half done. Just find your starting 11 and build from that. It's very worrying that you're finding your starting 11, though, while the season's going on. Tommy James says, Tom Ince, overrated, loves the crossbar and post, greedy and woeful. Stevie Breeze says, Tom Ince is too inconsistent. If he was consistent, he would have been playing for a top Premier League club years ago. He is a distraction and not worth the hassle for one good game in half a dozen. That's a big criticism of Tom Ince. So Steve, I agree with you about that. Ethan Finnegan says, how do people dare say support the team? We're all behind them and what's best? There's only so much people can put up with. It's absolutely depressing, and I'm sick of the silence from the club when there are so many issues on show. Hear, hear to that, Ethan. Stewie Good says, Woods, Edwards and Vickers were sat with the supporters.
Yeah.
Rob Steele says, Jones needs to pick his best 12 and tell them we're playing you for the next 6 games and stick with the system. Carl Stubbs says, what will the players who are not on international duty be doing in the break? They'd better be training. Tommy Bristow says, said it before, it's no point having a sports psychologist to talk to the players. Managers and leaders need to be part of that too. If they aren't, we'll never get to the root of the problem. Scott Price says, they were near me yesterday, those players I mentioned earlier on, where I sat near the corner, and they came out to sit at the side watching the warm-up before the game. Vicky Williamson says, it's great to see so many new names commenting in here. How come we played better away to Leeds and we won on penalties? He drops most of the players, Bruno, Campbell, etc. Why change it? Stuart Faulkner says, Tony Scholes is the problem. Dave Johnson says, we're a graveyard for decent players. Stewie Good says, I moved away hard to make me... made me nervous singing next to them. Woods, who Jones was praising as someone one week, and then drops him stone cold out of the squad. It's unbelievable, to be honest. Tommy James says, is this the issue down to managers? Managers are just a way of changing formations, but a football team is much more than a formation. It falls down to team morale, the backroom atmosphere, training, and much more. So why are we consistently calling for the manager's head? Because it's one simple person who always takes the flak, and every time it happens, they end up getting sacked. Julie Williams says, yet another shambles under James versus Birmingham, and gets more embarrassing every week. To make it worse, I turned the calendar today, and absolute and Sido Berahino is there grinning at me. That must be on the official Stoke calendar. Mm-hmm. Dan Taylor says, if we swap Jones, many fans will look at managers like Heaton, Moyes, Allardyce, etc. Yet we know the board won't be in another manager who isn't proven at the higher level would be coming. Even with the win ratio, I feel we need to stick with Jones. Carl Stubbs says, maybe we need Uri Geller to hypnotise the players to believe they're winners, not losers. Gary Pardy says, on the coach... on the way out of the ground, I saw a bloke with a placard. It said, God loves you. I thought God wants a job. Julie Williams goes on to say, you could announce a team a week before and it wouldn't make any difference. Different players all the time means we'll always be easy to beat. No consistency. Tommy James says, when you're on X amount of grand a week, you've got to be able to handle the pressure. Hear, hear to that. Vicky Louise Williamson says, all these players should be putting the shift in, week out. If I didn't put a shift in where I worked, I'd be sacked. Robert Mills says, it seems like when we get decent players in, they don't do it. When we are getting managers in, they also aren't doing it. Go on, Mark, give me a break and talk on the...
So Jacob is saying, release an inaccurate team sheet. And does Jones really select a start 11 so far in advance? Was that to do with the leak again?
But they aren't inaccurate team sheets, they're spot on.
They're spot on. No, I think we're suggesting that we...
Oh, we really want to confuse the opposition.
Yeah, so we put a false one out there. See if we can catch the leak that way.
It is serious, though. We shouldn't be laughing. Yeah. That's wrong.
Well, it is. It is very serious. Kustoki says, anybody who thinks Chris Hughton will come is dreaming. He announced on the radio that he's waiting for a Premier League job to open up. Also, manage a graveyard and we're stuck with Jones come what may. Because we'll never find anyone willing or daft enough to take the job. And then it's saying we are in a relegation battle, not a court of law. Deary me, the excuses for not appointing TP are getting more flimsy by the hour.
Well, Dan Lance says, I really like Jones, and as a manager and a guy, I refuse to jump on the Jones out bandwagon after six games this season. But, and there's a big but coming here, we're seriously in trouble, morale is shocking, confidence is shocking, tactics are all wrong, no plan B, no suitable left back, centre backs who can't defend simple balls in the air, Federici is past it, Butland is not doing very well, I'll paraphrase there, Dan, Alan can't hit a barn door with a beach ball. What the hell is going on with our beautiful team? We'll be with you every step along the way. Dan, I couldn't have written a better post, mate, that's my views, and I just can't see any route where the sacking Jones is going to do any good at the moment. Gary Pardy says, I understand what Mark is saying about pressure from the crowd, but I hate it when some sing, you must be because we're winning away.
Mm.
Well, I can't wait till we score three goals in one game, because I can guarantee you that chant will be coming out.
You reckon you'll be still alive?
Surely it's going to happen.
Are you sure?
Oh, sure, once it's got to happen. John Campbell says, the only problem I've ever had with Ndai was his anger issues. Always felt he was like a red card waiting to happen. Michael Fenner says, you can't keep sacking managers. This is the players, not the manager. Just going around and round with new managers. This is something much deeper than the manager. I think me and Mark agree with... Well, and Mark may want him sacked. I don't know. I mean, that's...
No, you haven't asked me yet, have you? Because you've got your poll.
Well, I have. I mean, I haven't even had a chance to mention that yet. I mean, do you want him sacked, Mark?
Well, if, when you come to your poll, I'll tell you which way I voted.
Okay, then. All right. I'm not far off the bottom of the Facebook, so here we go. Pete Y says, everything is rosy. They say Stoke at the bottom of the league and completely clueless, but they also say crop circles don't exist. Have faith. You'll rise up at least one place in the league in the next 2 months. Stick with it. Ant Bradshaw says, I'm on holiday for the next three home games. We have to win them all. If we do, we can have a whip around for another holiday. Well, you put your bets on, Ant, because I bet we aren't favourites in any of them games. Dan Lant says, what's your views? I really like James as a manager and a guy. But we've repeated that one. It's come through twice for some reason. Guy Tilston says, we all got it wrong. After a relegation with high-paid players with egos to massage and supporter apathy, an experienced manager is what was needed, not an up-and-coming manager. We got it so wrong. Michael says, there are no leaders on the pitch. Who can take the team by the scruff of the neck when the going is not right? No replacement for Whelan, Walters. Poor recruitment. Gary Eagle says Simon Cowell might be interested in the job. Stephen Roberts says let's just play 4-4-2, that's easy, and the players will play. Dave Johnson says NJ promised us fast attacking football and a team to be proud of. We are the complete opposite. Martin Eagle says if we're relegated at least we'll get a box set binge on Netflix. Paul Frith says Berahino has scored again for I'm going to try this Zulte Waregem in Belgium. Seeing this on a retweet from the current Stoke first team squad player, it just adds to the mystery of what's going on behind the scenes at the moment. Martin Eagle says the club are always vocal when they want us to renew season tickets. Rob Thompson says Nathan Jones was never the manager to take us back up. The appointment says it all. We need to be clear about the club's plan, and it's clearly not to bounce back. NJ's appointment says that. It's time for the club to come out and tell the fans what the plan is. Silence speaks volumes. Stuart Fulton says, what's your 11, Russ and Mark? I'll let you think about that one, Mark. Go on. Gary Eagle says, Simon Cowell refused the manager's job because we've got no talent. That is brilliant, Gary. What a great post. I know you don't mean it, really. Gary Pardy says, I'm guessing tonight's playout song is either Changes by David Bowie or I Recall a Gypsy Woman by Don Williams. Mark Cotton says, how can he play a phobia all through pre-season and then let him go after one game? He has no idea what his best formation or side is. His time's up, otherwise we'll be down by Christmas. Stuart Nichols says, the last couple of months of the season could be nail-biting for all the wrong reasons. Exciting times ahead. And Lee Williams says, hallelujah. Jones should have stayed at Luton. The players are letting him down. Professional players can't adapt to a formation. Get a grip. All need the heads banging together. Right. Have you got any more? Martin Eagle says that. My goodness. Have we ever had as many posts on Facebook as this?
So, East Oakey said, have you read the thread which worked out on our current form this season?
Yeah.
Not including last season. It would take us over 200 games to get to 49 points.
Shouldn't be laughing. Oh, not my word. Right, okay.
Yeah, so...
Have you got anything else, or is that it?
That's it on the OT for the time being.
Right, well, let's hear from Nathan Jones, who spoke after the Birmingham game, and his post-match interviews are getting more depressing. Because he really is
as good as Eric Cantona's?
Oh, that was unbelievable, wasn't it? He sounds thoroughly depressed, and I don't blame him.
And from controlling the game and from being in the ascendancy, we score, and then you think, right, can we go on from there? And then suddenly, we can't, and we can see two in quick succession, and we don't kick on. You know, it's really tough to take because we should be doing far better.
65 minutes with so many positives, limited them to absolutely nothing, hit the post, force the goalkeeper into several good saves.
Same story though, it's happened constantly. You know, we've hit the post, we've hit the bar, we can still keep saying, well, we're unlucky, but sooner or later we have to one, take a chance, two, keep a clean sheet, defend well, and we're not doing those things. If we defend well, you know, the errors or not doing the right thing. We've got Dan at the back post for pretty much three goals in the last two games. Not defending well as a team. Or we're not doing everything as a team because the one chance they get, they score. And then they're in the ascendancy and then they score from a deflected shot. And it's tough to take, you know.
It's a trademark goal, what you expect from Birmingham that first time, wasn't it?
Well, he scored against Barnsley, he scored against Bristol City, identical way. So, yeah, you know, it's not like it's a shock. But we didn't defend it well enough. And then we started to give a lot of fouls away, which it's not ideal when you play a big side. And then they just had probably an 8 to 10 minute period where they in a sense, and we conceded two, and that's what you can't do. So anytime teams are having a bit of play, they tend to score.
It's that mentality switch, isn't it? As soon as they scored that goal, as soon as we scored the goal, in fact, you could sense they dropped down a little bit in the tempo.
Yeah, and I don't know why, because we've been tempo and high energy up until then, but it is, and that's a mentality that's been here before me and is... and still here, and that's what I've not been able to change at the minute.
You've got different players in. Is it a difficult one to fathom, to work out what the problem is?
Look, we have to change our own destiny here. We can't just keep saying, well, we're unlucky, or we're an unlucky side, because you have to change it and have to be ugly. I mean, we came here and we had more possession than the home side. They were rigid, they were disciplined. We managed to break them down, we managed to get opportunities. Yeah, we've got to take those, because if we had, then we would have been further ahead. But then it's just, as soon as anything goes against us, it doesn't seem to have the mentality to recover from it.
You're a fighter, we know that. What do you do with this next 2 weeks? How do you get them back down to ground?
Well, we have to give them a little bit of downtime until Wednesday, and then we've got to get them and try to change things. The energy levels, we've got to be there. We've got a tough month coming up, and we have to be right up for it.
You've utilised a lot of players this season. Are you getting to a point now where you need to give a certain amount of players an opportunity over two or three game periods?
Well, we've done that. I don't think we've changed massively. You know, we did that for the first three or four league games and so on. Yeah, we changed for the cup game, but so did many people. So we're just trying to find a formula. We could stick with some, but there's a lot of good players here that want to play and want an opportunity, and it's you've got to keep those happy, but two, you have to find a formula that works. Performance wise, you should have far more, but we didn't.
That must be the toughest thing for you, because it's things that you can't control on the pitch which are happening. You can see the work that's going on, the system, the formulas, but those individual errors are just catastrophic.
Well, the individual errors have cost us. Whether it was individual errors today, or we just didn't defend, we didn't do what we needed to do well enough as a team. And that's a frustrating thing, and that's the thing we have to change, otherwise we won't get the results we need.
And that was Nathan Jones, and there was a pause in that interview which I thought spoke volumes about what we're going to do to change it. I think you could tell, those of you who are at home can see the pictures on Stoke City Live Plus, or Stoke City Plus or whatever it's called now. And there was a pause there in the interview when he was asked what the problems were. Now, I got the feeling he would love to have said what he really thought. And there was a pause, he waited. What answer shall I give to this? Which is deeply worrying. Anyway, we've got a couple of polls. We're getting towards the end of the show here. We're going to overrun a little bit because there's a lot still to get through. But how much more time would you give Nathan Jones? This was one of the polls. Nearly 700 of you voted on this. And rather worryingly for Nathan Jones, no longer is winning the poll, 36% of the vote. Four games only, more, 30% of the vote. Till Christmas, 20% of the vote. And the end of the season, 14% of the vote. Mark, come on, you wanted to comment on this. Go on, Mark. What did you want to say?
Yeah, basically, I voted for four games.
Right, so you gave him 10 games at the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'd love to give him the end of the season, but... four games may be too late even then. You can't just keep going like this, Russ. Something's got to be done.
I agree.
And whether you agree with it or not, eventually the buck stops with the manager, and he's the one who usually loses his job.
This is true, and he's a lovely fella, because if he wasn't a lovely fella, I think he'd have been gone already. Bristol City poll. This is incredible, considering Stoke fans voting on it. Bristol City, 65%. Of the vote. Stoke 22%, draw 13%. I don't know. It's ridiculous to even ask you for a prediction, because you haven't got a clue what the team's going to be, have you?
No.
But I mean, if he picks the right team, what do you think the result will be, or the right team that
I've gone for a draw against Bristol City.
Okay.
Because, like you, I still think we have the players. that are capable of getting results from any game, really.
Any game.
And, you know, he's just got to find that formula. And as I've said at the beginning of the show, if his philosophy is the diamond or 4-4-2 or whatever it is, he's got to do it and he's got to stick with it. Full stop. And as I say, lives and dies by that.
Okay, well, I'm going to whip through the Facebook posts and then I'm going to talk about the ladies and the under-23s. But anyway, Dan says, I live in Maidstone in Kent. I've only been to a few games already this season and every game it's the same problems. We get the ball and then make stupid mistakes. First rule of a defender is never let the ball drop, yet you watch the highlights and the centre-backs can't defend them. Is there an instruction from Jones? If it is, it's not working very well. We'll be up for Bristol City match. I'm always behind the lads, although whether it's good or bad. Martin Eagle says, I swear all Nathan Jones's interviews are copied and pasted. Alex Cartwright says, Nathan Jones is just stating the obvious. Ben Cliff says, Russ, could you play a loop of that interview from Jones since he's become manager? I swear he says the same thing after every single game. Stuart Nichols says, is Nathan on monkey dust? I don't know at all. I'm sure he isn't. Martin Eagle says, God willing, in relation to this. Did he say God willing in that interview? I can't remember. Mark Cotton says, we can't keep conceding two or three goals every week. We've been consistently shipping goals for 4 years. There is only one person to organise us into a team who we are to beat and that to make us hard to beat. And that leads me on to Ben Cliff, which says, Russ says, ask Mark who he would have in if Jones is sacked, because he seems to shake his head and tut, which is true, every time that Tony Pulis is mentioned. How any Stoke fan can tut or shake their head at Tony Pulis is beyond me. Well, hang on a minute, you're joking about one of the critics also talking here now. And to say getting him back is a step back. How can getting a tried and tested and pretty much successful manager, who for me in my lifetime being 30 is the best and most successful manager we've ever had, who would he have instead of Jones?
I don't know the answer to that, but no, I wouldn't have Tony Pulis back. And it's a non-starter anyway, because he's a very frosty relation with Tony Scholes.
Yeah.
The last 2 years under Pulis were some of the worst football I've ever, ever witnessed. And okay, this guy's 30. I'm 59, Russ. So I've seen a lot more than that. And, you know, yeah, and it's unfair to compare him to Tony Waddington, who, in my opinion, was the best Stoke manager ever, is unfair. But it's a massive step back if we went with him.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Okay. Dave Johnson says, I really feel sorry for Nathan Jones. Once the players cross the white line, they have to take responsibility, whether it's defending or Alan missing from 2 yards out twice in the last few weeks. And how many times are we at the post and bar? It's just not going for him. And then, of course, the other side have a deflection and it goes straight in the opposite corner.
Yeah.
Never happening to us. Barry Sherritt says, another manager would just inherit the same problems and the players he may not want. Yes, things are bad at the moment, but changing the manager could make things even worse. I'm not sure where you can go from bottom, Barry. But anyway, like I say, I still support him and I hope he gets it right. Barry Sherritt says, we will get our first win against Bristol City, especially as they can't play a phoby. We'll also beat Huddersfield. Anthony Bradshaw says, Mark is spot on. 4 games, stick to your guns. Play the system you believe in. And Phoenix says, because the football under Jones is better. Anthony Bradshaw says, leaders, where were they at St Andrews? Dan says, left in the stands, poor selection choices. Anyway, I've been to Nottingham Forest today, or Eastwood Community Football Ground in Eastwood in Nottingham, to watch Stoke City ladies who've had a fantastic start to the season, and it carried on today, winning 6-2 against Nottingham Forest. They've got a really exciting season ahead, I think. Stoke City ladies, it's really going to be a good one. They've brought in some great players, which is a direct contrast to the men. Again, they've made a huge amount of recruitment and they look to me like they've got it right at that level.
I was Sonia's going to love you. Well, out with this.
Well, it's true. Faye McCoy scored 3 cracking goals up front as a striker, which is a new position for Faye this season. She's played it before, but she's scored a hat-trick today. Meg Berry, the captain, who was absolute colossus today. She was absolutely brilliant, Meg Berry. Abby Hunt scored a great goal from the edge of the box, as did Kelsey Richardson. They went 1-0 down after 1 minute. Mark, by the way. And when we're watching the blokes, again, we'd say, here we go again, wouldn't we? The girls get on with it, and they won the game 6-2. Brilliant. The under-23s, I think, you know, they lost on Monday to Fulham 1-0. It wasn't a very good performance that night. The under-23s, though, they went and won 4-3 at Swansea against a very strong Swansea side. You had Tom Carroll in and people like that playing. And they won 4-3 with a last-minute penalty from Daniel Jarvis. I'll just go on to the Super 6 this week. Andrew Winfield topped the marks with 19 points. You had a good week, Mark, didn't you? You were tied second with Richard Taylor and Dan Eyre on 16. Overall, Andrew Winfield's leading on 46 points. Paul Frost on 41 with Janet Hewitt. Mark's in 7th place on 37 points. You're doing well, Mark. I think I went up to 33rd at the moment, so I'm rising up the table bit by bit with 28 points. And Angela Smith, my goodness, woeful, 40th position with 26 points. There's so many comments on Facebook. My goodness, how busy have we been tonight, Mark? Have you got anything else on the OK?
Yeah, it's a good one there. Serpico.
Yeah.
I was listening to the interview there with Nathan, and he said you can hear Coach sharpening his axe in the background of that Jones interview.
Yeah.
It was getting closer as the interview.
It's close to an axe. It was a set of mowers, as it always is after the game. But that was Stoke City making their video for us,
yeah,
which we're very grateful.
Finally, Jacob says, on about captains, have we got too many in the same team?
Well, yeah, and going back to the ladies, if you want to come, it's an international break now, if you want to get a bit of a fix of ladies football, because I know a lot of people, they've had the best crowd in the Northern League for the first home game, Mark, which was a great turnout. As the men have finished playing, they're playing on Thursday night at Norton against West Bromwich Albion, 7:45 kick-off. Hope to see as many of you down there as possible. These ladies deserve your support, trust me. They're playing great football. They've made investment in the team, got good players in. Get down there and support them. Carl Warburton says, I'm 52, and let me tell you, Tony Pulis brought by far the best times to Stoke City, and these so-called big clubs hated coming to our place to play us. Since Tony has left us, the club has gone backwards. Not only on the pitch, but also the passion has gone and the pride. So there you are. It's called opinions, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you can't deny what the last bit he says there. Mm. You know, the passion has gone. You know, it certainly has. So there we go.
Do you know, we could keep going for another hour, but we've got to stop. We're already 8 minutes over what we should be. So Ange will give me some stick for that. But Luke, it's hard to say keep the faith. It's hard to say keep the faith, and the hardest time to keep the faith is when you're going through an absolute vile time, and we are going through an absolute vile time at the moment. I accept the manager's not helping himself with some of his decisions, but I actually like the bloke, and that's something that's cutting him a lot of slack with me at the moment. But do I like where we are at the moment? No, I don't, and I'm not enjoying it. I don't think anyone involved with Stoke is enjoying it. But I've still got faith in this guy. But if he carries on going the way it's going, I think there's only one answer. And the longer it goes on, the harder it'll be to turn it round. Mark, it's been a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thank you so much for your comments tonight.
Let's just hope Alan just found that...
That defender with a backbone. it's just incredible to see how many people have been listening in tonight. The passion for this club is amazing. You're all brilliant. Thank you so much for your comments. And we won't have a show next week, obviously, because of the international break. But me and Ange will be back for the game after Bristol City. God knows what it'll be like if we lose that game. Let's hope it's a positive show and we put in a good performance and we win.
Yeah.
Hear, hear to that, eh?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. We're going to go out tonight with a song from Charlie Puth, and it's How Long Has This Been Going On? And I think that's rather apt.